kids don't rebel against authority as much as they rebel against inconsistent authority. When there's a consistency, you leave a mark. The Apostle Paul was like that. It says this, listen, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, this is at the end of his life. Now, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. Do you know that there is a specific and special crown for those who've lived consistently?
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. A lot of people will tell you the reason they do not attend church is because there are too many hypocrites. People who act the part on Sunday, but the rest of the week, well, that's a different story. Pastor Wayne calls it inconsistent Christianity. Now, it's one thing to have struggles in your walk, but it's another thing to intentionally live a double standard. Well, here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Making Your Mark Through Consistency.
I was talking to a friend in Chicago, and they had a building campaign, and they raised $100 million. And I went directly to prayer. Lord, what about us? I said, be fair, just split it in half, half, half. And I was feeling a little down when God showed me and reminded me of Matthew 25, where he gave one 5 talents of gold, another 2, less than half, and then another 1. He went on a journey and then came back, and the one that had 5 invested it or stewarded it well. And he said, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. He went to the next one, less than half as much given to them. 2. But he stewarded that well, and the answer was exactly the same. Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. And I thought, it's not the amount, it's how you steward what you've been given that gets the pleasure of God and the rewards of God. And so if God gives us this much or gives them that much, doesn't really matter. He's going to direct the gift amounts. We're going to direct the stewardship of those amounts. That's much more important. Now, the story takes a little twist. When the one that was given 1 talent, he had an attitude. And so he went away and got a coffee can and stuck it in a coffee can and buried it in his backyard. And when the master came back, he said, hey, you know, you just gave me one. You just gave me one. You gave him 5, 2, 1. You want it back? Here. You know what the master said? You wicked and lazy slave. What that tells me is, number one, God's amounts are his design and his responsibility, not ours. Ours is stewarding whatever he gives. Yeah. And the second is, when this guy buried that amount, here's the lesson. You can't play it safe and please God. We have to be willing to go for it, and this church is willing to go for it. And now we're going to steward whatever we have been given. Do you understand how God uses those who steward what he gives them regardless of the amount? And so we will be grateful for the 7.5 and do the best we can. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Well, today I want to talk to you about making your mark. But today I want to talk to you about making your mark through something we can all do, consistency. No, no, it's not achievement. It's not popularity. It's not gaining something of grand value that everybody looks back and says, "Woo, boy, did they strike it rich." No. Because if you think making your mark is through some kind of achievement, watch how quickly you go from a hero to a zero. I mean, take a look at this. Those of you that saw, you know, the NFL Super Bowl, let me ask you, how many of you know last year's Super Bowl champions? Raise your hand. 6. Yeah. They were champions. They won millions of dollars in a big old ring. Can you remember who they were? New England Patriots. Yeah. Billions of dollars have been spent on filming this stuff. You stayed home from work to watch it, and you can't even remember who. What about the year before then, John? Yeah, you don't know, right. What about, you say, well, I'm a basketball fan. All right, who was the NBA champions this year? Getting quieter now, isn't it? 3 years ago. But you see how things that we spent millions on achieving, America forgets. Yeah. You know where you're going to make your greatest mark? It's in consistency. Being consistent. My kids have developed, because they're older now, but they've all developed a drug problem. I'm sorry to say this. And I caused it. You say, well, how? I drug them to church. I drug them to school. I drug them to devotions. And now in their adult life, they don't despise me. They don't regret it because they themselves have become the same. They are now druggers for their children. They're dragging their kids everywhere. But you know, after all these years, my kids are all doing great. Not because of any status or any achievement, but because even though I've kind of compelled them, there's times I get on Aaron, he'd be in bed, I'd jump on his bed, isn't that right? And pull him up and say, it's time to go to church or devotions, let's go, get ready. And we'd laugh, but he'd get up and we would do it. And he's in the ministry today, and all my kids love Christ. And I look back, and it's not because of any one thing or one event, but I think it's more because simply the consistency of Dad, just watching him throughout the years. Listen carefully. Kids don't rebel against authority as much as they rebel against inconsistent authority. Who you are in public is not who you are in private. What you are in the light is not what you are in the dark. But when there's a consistency, you leave a mark. The Apostle Paul was like that. He was consistent, so much so that at the end of his life, in the book of 2 Timothy, and I'll read it from this is the most inspired version of the Bible here. I mean, there's other versions that are good. This is the most inspired. But it says this, listen, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the steady. A landmark that everyone could check back to. Correct back to. I have kept the faith. Now, this is at the end of his life. Now, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. Did you know that there is a specific and special crown for those who've lived consistently? Just 2 days ago, I did a wedding for one of our young men and young ladies that grew up in the church, and Chris Kyriakos got married to Christina Brown, and Chris came to this church when he was a junior high kid. He was going through all kinds of iterations in his life, trying to find himself and who was he. Then his family went through some different iterations. But as I look back and see him get married, and everyone's doing great now, but when I look at all of the stuff he's come through and you're doing the wedding, you realize that most indelible mark that was made on his life was through the consistency of these who loved him, his friends, mentors, pastors. Because when he starts going off, he could always find those guys to correct back to because they didn't move, even though he was. See, what's happening in this world today, watch this. This is like young leaders and young people trying to find themselves. They're discovering, they're asking, they're trying, they're experimenting. Now, if the church is like this, whoa, we're going to try and reach these young people. Let's be trendy like them. Now, watch. The church starts doing this, and we start doing this because we want to kind of like be popular with them. Now, when they're tired of going down all these dead rabbit trails, they're trying to find their way home. Where's the landmarks? Where's the buoys in the darkness? There aren't none. Now watch this. If the church is like this, you're going to have young people trying to find themselves. They're going to go all over the planet. And they'll come back and go, you bunch of fogies. And then they'll come and go around. But watch this. There's going to be a day when they're tired. And they're going to say, it's time for me to come home. Thank God you guys were consistent.
Amen.
And then they navigate their way back. You see that? That's why we've got to stay consistent. And I look at this church, and we've gone through a lot of iterations with the legislature, the changing of the moral code of Hawaii, the change of just what people are doing, and the flack that we took. I had my life threatened 4 times and got sued 3 times. And the last one was a harassment suit. And the stuff that was so false was put in the paper. And I didn't want to go out of the house because it was so hurtful. with all of the flack, but we just felt you need to stay consistent. Just stay steady. When the torrential rains pour and the cross currents surge, we've got to set our sail on Christ and just stay consistent. Amen. That'll make the greatest mark on people's lives because he'll come back around. One of the other great joys of just staying consistent is after many, many years, you start to reconnect with those that watched you way, 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 way back then. Thank God you stay consistent because now they say, oh, yeah, you're still that person. In fact, today in the service is a dear friend of mine, and he was in our youth group in Youth for Christ. I was working on a high school in Churchill High School in Eugene, Oregon, reaching kids for Christ. And there's this one boy there that was a kind of an analytical kid, and he was in our youth group, and then he went off to college, and we just connected. He's here today. Dr. Gail Beebe is now the president of Westmont College right here. Gail, raise your hand. You? The mark that you make through just consistency of choosing to follow Christ, I have kept the faith, run the race. This church is like that. If you take a look at some of the great men and women of the past, for example, Job. Job went through all kinds of physical tortures and challenges and struggles. And even when his friends, his wife, would say to him, just curse God and die. A wonderful wife he had. Just wonderful. Do you remember what Job said? No, I'm going to stay consistent. And though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar says to these three Jewish kids, when you hear the psaltery and the pipes and the trumpets, when you hear the electric guitars, whatever it was, you bow down and you eat dirt and you worship me. And they said, oh, I'm sorry, you're king. We worship only God. If you don't, you're going to be thrown in the fire, a furnace of blazing fire. Oh, King, with all respect, the God who we serve will deliver us from the furnace of fire. And then they said this, but even if he does not, we will stay consistent. Now, they go through the furnace of fire and they're delivered. When they come out the other end, do you think they made a mark on the people around them? Because they were consistent in their faith. Daniel was the same way. And I look at all of these and I think, that is the greatest mark, because the greatest mark we're going to leave in Hawaii, may, as much as we use buildings, it won't be a building. It'll be the mark that we leave on the next generation and the next one who are watching us. And what's most important isn't what we got in our pockets. It's the consistency that we have in our faith. So that when they were going like this, we love them. No, not legalistically. We just loved them and stayed steady. And when they needed to find their way home, there was a mile marker. There was a buoy set in the midst of the ocean, and they could find their way back. You understand? And they found their way back to port and harbor. Can I say thank you to this church for now 33 years we've been in Hawaii and 22 here? And I think this church has been so consistent. We've gone through so many iterations, the collapse of the roof and changes and planting out churches, like I said, 27 of them now, and we just stayed really consistent. And that's going to be the greatest mark of all. Let me tell you a story. I'd read it for you, but let me just narrate it for you. It was about Abraham. Abraham is the father of our faith. This is in Genesis chapter 22. We all hear about the faith of Abraham. Very little do we hear about the faith of his son Isaac. Let me tell you about it. When Abraham was 99, he has a son. Sarah gives birth to Isaac. Well, because this is a child in his old age, he pours everything into this son. It's his life. Well, his son starts to grow up. Now he's a strapping, probably around 17 or 18 years old. And so this means that Abraham is probably 115, 116 years old. So he's not, he's a geezer right now, all right? He's on a Medicare. And so God speaks to Abraham. And I'm reading this in Genesis 22, and he says, Abraham, I want you to go up to Mount Moriah and sacrifice your son. I said, wait a minute, that does not sound like God. They used to do that to the god, the idol, Molech, but not to our, no, this is not God. What I didn't know was God was just testing Abraham. So I kept reading, I thought, this is crazy. So the very next morning, Abraham gets a donkey, puts wood on it, gets some fire, like a torch, and then a knife and some rope, ties the wood up, and he says to Isaac, now he's 115 years old, so he probably can't walk that good, and Isaac's going to be the sacrifice, but he doesn't know it.
Isaac, we're going to hike the Manoa Trail, come on. Oh, could you help my hip right there? Yeah, okay. Just need a little boost there. Yeah, my arthritis is kicking in. And so now they're going up this hill.
Now, Isaac is not a dummy. He's starting to think, look around. What are we going to do, Dad?
Make a sacrifice.
Where's the sacrificial lamb or whatever you're going to sacrifice?
Come on.
I don't know about you, but if I were Isaac, I'd go, no, whoa, there's something wrong with this picture, Dad. He's not a dummy. I mean, he gets up near the top, and he says to the servants, go home. Just Isaac and I are going to go from this point on, just between him and me. So the servants leave. Now, I know by this time, Isaac must be figuring something's funny. Wouldn't you? Looking around. Dad, where's the sacrifice? I'm thinking, no. He gets to the top, and if Isaac, think about the faith of Isaac now. If Isaac doesn't know what's going on now, when his dad puts the wood on the ground and says to his son,
lay down.
You understand? It's like, and he lies down on it. Now, this kid is 17, 18 years old. He can get up there and deck his dad. He can overcome him, put him into a pretzel, and walk off. Say, I don't want to have anything to do with this. But for some reason, you read it, he lays down. Now, if he still doesn't have an idea of what's going on, you know he will when his dad starts wrapping him up with ropes.
We'll just make this tight here, just tight.
And if that doesn't convince him, I know the next step will when his dad starts dousing him with kerosene. But then he sees his dad with tears rolling down his face, pleading with God, no, God, no. He probably saw his dad go to the side and fall on his face, beg. But then he picks up the knife. With tears streaming down his face, walks back to his son. And I bet then Isaac can see an angel being dispatched from heaven and Mach 4 whipping through the universe. And then he grabs Abraham and says, it's good. It's all good now. We're good. And if you were Isaac, I mean, you'd go, praise the Lord. What took you so long, angel? See, we've all heard about the faith of Abraham, but what about the faith of Isaac? Where did he get that kind of faith to trust God that something would be intervening real soon? What gave him the confidence that his God would not require something like this, even though he was laying on the wood horizontally? What gave Isaac the faith? I'll tell you what gave Isaac the faith. Listen, for 18 years, he watched his dad consistently obey God, listen to his God, follow his God, even sometimes struggle with his God. But his God, the God of his father, never failed his dad once. He saw the consistency of his dad's faith, and it left an indelible mark on Isaac that would change his life forever. This church is like that. We've gone through a ton of iterations, but can I just say thank you for being a church of consistency, because that's what's going to leave the greatest mark on Hawaii. Not what we achieve. We've had Our music is so good. We've had multiple Nahoku Hanohano Awards. But that's not going to, as wonderful as that is, that won't leave the greatest mark. It's the consistency of the faith of God's people right here. That's what's going to touch the next generation. And many more churches will come from this womb. And so what God has done in the beginning, we have to stay faithful to it. Well, how do we know what God did in the beginning? Well, you know what? See that wall there with that big, whatever you call it, drape over it? It's because we busted a hole in there because we're going to put some doors there when we put the kind of the fellowship hall over here. When we start building out this way, there's going to be some doors that go out to the parking lot here. So we opened the sheetrock, and guess what we saw on all of the hollow tile and concrete walls? Hundreds and hundreds of scriptures. You know why? Because this used to be, when we first got it 17 years ago, this used to be a garage where trucks were being worked on as a mechanic shop. We had to scrape grease off of these floors. It was just basically corrugated roofing and sides, and that's it. Not air conditioned. And before we put the walls in, we called the church together and said, what has God given us as promises for the years to come? Let's write them all over the walls and all over the floor. And so hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of scriptures have been written. And then the sheetrock was put over. That's why when we took the sheetrock off, it reminded us of what God had assigned to us 17 years ago. Promises of healing and salvation. That can never change. That's a foundation. Foundations don't shift. Design might. Foundations don't. There was even 1 Corinthians 13:13 right behind there, written in Japanese. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love, written in kanji and katakana and hiragana. And that tells us that when we first began early on, there was a love for missions and a love for lost people to see them come to Christ. That can never change. We have to stay consistent to that. Because what God used in the beginning to build this church, He will use to grow the church. Amen. Same DNA. In fact, I was just talking to a young man here. He said, Pastor Wayne, 17 years ago, my dad was one of them that wrote scriptures here, and he couldn't make it today, so I'm coming in his stead, and I'm going to write the scripture that he wants to write. And I'm going to write it in Chinese because I've been studying Chinese, and my heart is to be a missionary to China one day. Do you understand the consistency of this church is going to start birthing these kinds of things? But we've got to stay consistent because that's where you leave the greatest mark. Well, as some of you know, we are building a parking structure here. And then across the street, we have leased a large warehouse, about 5,000 square feet more or however many. And before we put sheetrock on there, we wanted us to do the same thing over there. To put the promises of God and some scriptures down so that as the years go on, we want to remain consistent. Regardless of what's happening to the world, we're going to stay consistent because sooner or later, people want to find their way home and they need a beacon in the darkness. And so we're going to do that. And some of you will go across the street, but we have some sheetrock that we actually have here that you can write some things on. And we're going to actually put it up in the annex over there. But the main thing is, I want us to realize this, that the greatest mark that we'll make will be through consistency. My prayer for us is that we will have heard God and stay true to Him over the years and watch the legacy that you leave on the next generation.
You have just heard a message entitled Making Your Mark Through Consistency by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Now you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime on demand. Just go to www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. That's Spreaker, spreaker.com. Stream the message or download it to your mobile device and listen on the go. And with a click of a button, you can share Words of New Hope on Facebook, Twitter, or your other social media and help us spread the good news of Jesus Christ to family and friends. That's www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Now available 24/7, 365. For Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.